Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to the Friday Morning Show, and this is C.A. Brooks on 1-2 Radio, changing the way we experience life and spirituality. And today is July 7th, 2017. So, of course, when it's my turn to do the Friday Morning Show, we usually talk about A Course in Miracles. And that's exactly what we're going to do today with my guest, author Susan Dugan. And what we're going to do, I posted it in the chat room, but we're going to look at the workbook for students, and specifically lesson number 23, I can escape from the world I see by giving up attack thoughts. What an idea. In fact, Ken Wapnick, when he's talking about this lesson, he says, that's a blockbuster right there. Mm-hmm. I can escape from the world I see by giving up attack thoughts. So that's what we're going to talk about. And you can actually interact in the conversation by going over to Facebook and joining us in our private group. And if you're new today, I do welcome you. Thanks for finding us. But I will let you know that you can join us over on Facebook by going to the 12radio.com website. That's the way you're going to find that entrance, the secret key to Facebook. Basically, when you go to our website at 12radio.com, you're going to see a chat button on the left side. And when you click it, it automatically redirects you over to Facebook where you can ask to join our group. And then during the show or any other live show, you can actually interact. You can post questions. You can post comments. That kind of thing, interact with other people as you're listening to the show. And so I hope you'll do that if that's something that you're interested in. And by the way, our producer today is Ade, and he's going to be there and he's going to watch. So if you're knocking at the door, he's going to let you in. So let's just get started with the show. I know we were a few minutes late. We were, I'm sitting here already, and of course my Skype decides that it's going to update right as the show is starting. So of course I had to say quickly, no. So it was a major forgiveness lesson right there first thing this morning. So in any case, let's get started. And my guest is Susan Dugan. I know many of you who listen to the show, you know her. She's the author of 3 different books on forgiveness, all of which are just total gems. She's also the co-founder of the School for A Course in Miracles, and she facilitates ACIM study groups in Denver, Colorado. So if you are in the Denver urban area, you might consider dropping in and seeing her or meeting her, you know, listening to something that she's doing or that somebody else is doing at the Rocky Mountain Miracle Center, which is here in Denver. And it's right off the highway, so it's pretty easy to find. So Susan, welcome. Thank you for being here today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Okay, well, and thank you once again for your suggestion of lesson 23. And, you know, I always like to ask you why this lesson came up, or when you make suggestions, what's going on that drew your attention to this particular lesson?
Sure. Well, a couple of things. I had been listening to the Foundation for A Course in Miracles this past week, did their monthly streamed class. And I think it was called on gentle, oh, I forget what it was called, but on gentler pathways, smoother roads or something like that. But it, they referenced this lesson 23, I can escape from the world I see by giving up attack thoughts. It was something that they turned to in their discussion. And I hadn't looked at it for a really long time. And I was just astonished by, how applicable it is. And also just sort of a, As always, when we return to the course, perhaps after a long time of not reading a passage, it seems like there were things in there that we missed completely the first, 29 times that we read.
Right.
but so this one, it also jumped out at me because the topic, as you said, the blockbuster title of it seemed so very relevant to, it seems that We may all wish at this point to escape the world in some,
yes.
in some form. But the world seems very, especially tumultuous lately, the greater world and perhaps our personal worlds as well. It always seems, and this lesson makes the point that the world is set up to be a place of conflict. It is a vengeful world. It is a world that was created by the vengeful thought of believing that we could separate from God, and that it was a real crime, And so the entire world is an outside picture of that inner condition of guilt in the mind about believing that that was possible. And so it's kind of, it's meant to spin the way it does. and so what this lesson really, I thought, did very beautifully was really bring us back to the very fundamental messages of the Course, that we need to take 100% responsibility for what we're experiencing, not what's happening in the world, not what people are doing in the world, not what, you know, the physical things that are going on in the world and the emotional things, but for my reactions to them. And that is something that we always have a choice about. And this lesson does a really beautiful job of explaining to us that we are fully capable at any moment of changing the purpose that we're giving to the world and changing the teacher with which, you know, the inner teacher with which we perceive the world, from the ego, which is, you know, our constant companion when we're making the world real and feeling very victimized by it, or, you know, having all these attack thoughts. And mainly we see the attack thoughts of others, right?
Right.
We feel that we're being attacked. All those, you know, we disown them. We project them out and experience them as incoming attacks. And this lesson makes the point that we can change the purpose of what we're experiencing and the teacher with whom we're looking at it, and that will change the nature of the experience. It's not going to change, again, what's happening in the world. The world was set up to be a place of conflict, but we can nonetheless have a peaceful experience regardless of what's happening in the world, and through that process let go of this guilt that is generating my belief that I'm a victim of the world I see and that there's no way out. And so I thought it was just a very, very hopeful lesson for all of us, and one that is very, very plain spoken and very practical, and something that that people can really practice and sink their teeth into. And so I thought we could talk about it from that perspective.
Sounds great to me. And, you know, I agree with you. I love how simple it is. I mean, in some ways, there is a lot of depth here. In fact, I was kind of surprised because, you know, I have Ken Wapnick talking about all of the 365 lessons. I've got that CD set. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I had played and used a lot of those in previous years. And so I thought, you know what, I'm going to go back and listen to what he has to say about this lesson. But truthfully, I was thinking this lesson is kind of short. I'll bet you it's like 4 or 5 minutes. Well, his discourse on it is like 22, 23 minutes. And I was surprised because I thought, oh, wow, you know, and it was, of course, very enlightening to listen to it. It was really great. And it brought up, you know, several what I thought were really salient points. But, you know, the other thing is just that we get, so there is a lot of depth. I don't want to act like, oh, this is so simple. You know, don't worry about this. This is so simple. But behaviorally, in some ways, it is simple. You take the attack thought and literally, like, you know, for instance, in this lesson, there's a blank. So it says, I can escape from the world I see by giving up attack thoughts about Skype. You know, I mean, you just
right.
fill in the blank. And so in some ways, you know, we do have to continue, in a sense, going through those motions, even though we may not understand how they ultimately all add up cumulatively and affect us. So on one level, this is very, very simple. I have an attack thought. I feel attacked. And every time I do, I can purposefully say, I'm going to give that a new purpose. I can give up attack thoughts about my computer, about, you know, or whatever
right.
it is. And yet here I'm going to bring up a little sticky wicket. And I'm bringing this up because, you know, Ken was talking about it. And I think this is what confuses me, and this is what confuses a number of people. As he's talking about this lesson, he says, remember that, you know, your thoughts are coming out of your brain. When we're talking about the mind, we're not talking about the brain. Correct. And that automatically starts getting me confused because, you know, he even says, he goes, people, this is one of those lessons that people misuse or misunderstand all the time. Because for one time, you know, on one hand, what they'll do is they'll go, oh, I had a negative thought about so-and-so, and then they stub their toe. That's my fault.
Right.
You know, I created that. And he goes, you know what? Those are mostly thoughts coming out of your brain. He goes, that's not what we're talking about. But, you know, on an experiential level, I'm going, okay, well, how do I know? Is this thought coming out of my brain? Is it coming out of my mind? How, you know, is there a framework that I can kind of just go, okay, stop that chatter and just go back to how do I get into the mind?
Well, we don't really need to know. I mean, the course itself tells us.
Of course you're going to say that, Susan.
Well, we can't. We can't know. As long as we're identified as bodies, and you know, everyone that's studying the course really is, or they'd be done with, you know, they'd put it away.
Right.
You know, as long as we're identified with the body, we believe we're bodies. That's why we apply it very specifically to things that really aren't even happening here. But for us, they're happening within the dream. And that's where we start. So the way we get in touch with the decision-making mind is really to just take the steps that Jesus is asking us to take, but not to do it by ourselves. So when we are experiencing, I mean, what this lesson contains, which is really the simple practice of the course, is the three steps of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, you want to go through those with us?
Yes. I will go through them. And then I think I might read Ken's commentary from the Journey Through the Workbook, which is pretty short because it really explains it even a little bit more.
Uh-huh.
But he says, so first the in paragraph 5, of this lesson, you know, it implies the three steps of forgiveness. And it says, the idea for today introduces the thought that you are not trapped in the world you see because its cause, which is in the mind, can be changed. This change requires first that the cause be identified. So the cause is really always, we're taught in the steps of forgiveness, the cause is not what's happening out there. The cause is my choice to reinforce the guilt in my mind. It's always a choice that I'm making. So first, that the cause be identified and then let go so that it can be replaced. And we don't let go of it. I, Susan, you, CA, don't let go of it by ourselves. We need help from a part of our mind that knows it's a mind, which is Jesus, Holy Spirit, to let that go. So those first two steps of forgiveness, it says, the first two steps in this process require your cooperation, require you to say, okay, I'm wrong about the cause of this guilt, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, of this, you know, I think that the cause is what someone just said to me, or I think that the cause is what I just saw on the TV, or I think that the cause is what's in my body, or, you know, that what's happening to my kid or something like that. But when we're upset about anything, so that's the first step. We're saying, no, I'm wrong about the cause. The cause must be this guilt in my mind that I'm unaware of, the choice to make that real. And then the second step is I'd like to let that go. And that's turning toward Jesus, Holy Spirit in the mind. And so if the first two steps in this process require your cooperation, but not our entire, we still don't do it by ourselves. You know, it still implies that we're turning back to the mind. We're turning back to our inner teacher. And then he says the final one does not. The final step, the actual letting go and the return to peace, is done for us. So that's the three steps. So the first two steps we participate in. The last step is done for us. After those first two steps of at least, you know, saying, maybe I'm wrong about what the cause is, and then I'd like to let this go, I'd like to see this differently, then we wait.
Right.
For the peace to return, because, and it's liable that it won't be an immediate thing, because we're, you know, again, we have this, we're very attracted to keeping that guilt real, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know, we think that we're doing this as CA and Susan. We don't need to know that it's really happening at the level of the mind, that all of this is happening at the level of the mind. By letting this process, by initiating this process, by opening to this process and opening to this other teacher in our mind, which is really starts with that first step of forgiveness of I'm wrong. You know, just we know that we have to practice forgiveness when we're feeling that conflict, when we're feeling ourselves attacked, when we're feeling attacking of someone else, right? Those are my attack thoughts. Mm-hmm. I feel justified in my anger because of what you did. And the Course is asking us to step back and say, it sure seems like that's why I'm upset, but I'm, you know, that's not the real cause. I have to open to the recognition that that must not be the real cause. I must be wrong about that.
Right. It does. But of course, and you've heard me say this many times, you say, we don't need to know. Well, Susan, I need to know. That is my stumbling block all the time. I mean, you know, I think we all have ours, and that is mine. I believe that I can understand something that is not understandable. You know, I believe in my ego. I believe that I am capable of making a better world than God did.
Right. And is that working out for you?
Not very well.
Well, I mean, I think we all struggle with that. But he says that, you know, but I mean, right in the very beginning of this, though, he's saying you're wrong about the world because you can't make a better world. In paragraph two, he says, if the cause of the world you see is attack thoughts, and he's telling us it is, right? Mm-hmm. You must learn that it is these thoughts that you do not want. There is no point in lamenting the world. There is no point in trying to change the world. It is incapable of change because it is merely an effect. But there is indeed a point in changing your thoughts about the world. Here you are changing the cause. The effect will change automatically. The effect will change automatically, not meaning that what's happening, you know, the situation or the, you know, the actual physical event, but my perception of it, my interpretation of it, my experience of it will change. It will not have the power to take my peace away that it did before. You know, I will see it with compassion. I will see it with kindness toward myself and everyone involved. And so my response is liable to be very, very radically different coming from that experience. Does that
Well, we can argue
with this, and Jesus knows we don't believe it.
Right.
But we're in school.
Yeah, and it always comes back to which teacher are you going to choose.
That's right.
It's not about understanding exactly what the end result is or understanding how it works. It's about choosing the right teacher. In every single moment, that's what we can do is say, I'm going to choose with my ego, which like you said, how's that working out for you, CA? Not very well. Or I can say, yeah, this isn't working out very well. Another teacher might be better. And let's listen to that teacher, even if it doesn't make sense to my rational mind.
And, you know, and it won't make sense to your rational mind. I guess that's what I'm saying is the analysis of the ego is not going to help us here. This is written at a very high intellectual level, and it is helpful for us to understand and necessary, I think, for us to understand and grasp, which takes time, the metaphysical teachings of the Course and the two levels on which it's written, or we get very confused. Nonetheless, the analysis after that, it's really a matter of opening. I mean, this isn't, you know, literal, but opening our hearts to the Course. It's Ken always used to say that we need to approach the Course like we would a great work of art, with that sense of openness and wonder and entering in to it. And not with our brains, because that just is, it, you know, the analysis of the ego is always going to fight with this Course, doesn't want to learn it. And, you know, that's within all of us, that struggle. So when we see that coming up, you know, that's a signal to tell you which teacher you've chosen. That's all. It's not a crime. It's just, you know, that's my resistance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's my fear that I'm struggling with right now. But I can choose another teacher. Maybe I don't want to right now. I don't have to force, you know, Jesus has endless patience with us. He's not saying, you know, you flunk. You know, he doesn't fail anybody. He's saying, okay, you know, I know you don't believe this, but, you know, you're wrong. He tells us repeatedly that we're wrong and that he'll wait. He's not in a hurry. Nothing that we're doing is really having the power to hurt anything.
Right.
You know, and that kind of upsets us too. It upsets the ego because the ego wants to believe that it has power to destroy. It did destroy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and thus I was created. But that's just a story.
Yes.
Jesus is saying that's just a story. And again, it's that the pain of that, the experience of pain that usually leads us back to the willingness to say, you know, well, maybe I'm wrong about this. I mean, that's what invited the scribing of the Course into the world was the recognition on Helen and Bill's part that there had to be another way of relating to each other here. This isn't working out so well for me.
Right.
You know?
Well, yeah. Well, and I do, going back to the simplicity, I do love this lesson. I think if you think about life as a curriculum, you know, I need nothing more than this lesson.
Yeah.
You know, giving up attack thoughts because, you know, even, you know, when you had suggested it, I think earlier in the week or whenever you suggested it, I started paying attention. And I was, you know, I will admit I was kind of blown away or amazed how often I had an attack thought.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't automatically jump there, but every single time I thought, well, why is that person doing that? What do they think they're doing? You know, why aren't they obeying the rules? Or why aren't they, you know, don't they realize that's a dumb thing to do? And it's like, attack, 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 attack. And part of me was like, whoa, do you have any thoughts that aren't attack thoughts?
Right.
I mean, all these wonderful things I think about myself. And yet, you know, I was kind of, especially one day, I was just going through my day literally with like a little list of what everybody else was doing wrong.
Right.
And it included everybody. I mean, you know, it was strangers, it was family, it was friends, you name it. I had my little list about how those guys could live their lives better.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Well, that's the value of this. You know, that's what the workbook is training us to do. And then the work at the end of the workbook, it tells us this is a beginning, not an end. This is the beginning of what we are to be doing for the rest of our lives as long as we believe we're a person who has a life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but to do it without judgment, to learn to do it without judgment, to do it again, not by ourselves, not by, you know, because if we're trying to do this by ourselves and just, you know, watching our attack thoughts, we become horrified.
You yes. know,
I mean, it's very, very, it just increases our guilt. It's like, oh my God, I never knew I was such a judgmental person. And I mean, I think we all do that with the Course. When I started practicing this, I just, for years really felt so judgmental of myself. You know, it was very difficult for me to forgive myself. And it still is very difficult at times. Again, when we're trying, we forget that we have a teacher. We have to bring in that loving presence and really begin to have faith and trust in what Jesus is telling us, which is that he doesn't judge us at all, that there is no guilt, that his love is not conditional or dependent on anything that we have done or haven't done, that it's not what we achieve or haven't achieved. It isn't what we've, you know, the saintliness with which we've lived our lives is not why Jesus loves us. You know, mm-hmm. Our self-esteem comes from God. It is a given. It is our inheritance, the Course tells us. It is not negotiable.
Right.
You know, and so, And neither is anyone else's. And so, you know, that's not the way the world sees everything. Everything here in duality is divided into victims and victimizers. And we have only to look around us to see that that's true within our personal lives and the greater world. And we're always taking sides and we're always, you know, magnifying the importance of differences among us and making judgments about them and, you know, making decisions based on them and excluding and including and, you know, signing treaties and signing, you know, justifying our actions globally. And it's all a part of the ego's plan to keep us completely mindless fighting battles where they don't exist.
Right.
You know, the war is within our mind, and that's where we have to go back to the cause. I think in the, he says, paragraph 3, he says, the world you see is a vengeful world, and everything in it is a symbol of vengeance. Everything. Each of your perceptions of external reality is a pictorial representation of your own attack thoughts. And that's another way of saying it's an outside picture of the inner condition, again, of what we've accused ourselves of, you know, mm-hmm. which is this attack on God. One can well ask if this can be called seeing. Is not fantasy a better word for such a process and hallucination a more appropriate term for the result? You know,
right.
He's telling us this is not true. There's nothing. We're fighting a battle that doesn't exist. And we're seeking to solve it where it can never be, where solutions can never be found, you know, because it was set up that way. And then we deliberately forgot we made it up. You
right.
know, so the only hope is to go back to the mind. And we don't even have to, as I was saying earlier, we don't have to know that we're a mind. We just have to, the very practice of those three steps of forgiveness, which is really what, you know, very specifically, as it goes on later to say, you know, he's leading us through at this part of the workbook. He kind of just slipped in that forgiveness, process through the back door where he didn't even mention what he was telling us there. But that's part of the mind training or untraining that the workbook is initiating, by getting us to pay attention. As you were saying when you were practicing this week, to pay attention to my thoughts. And to recognize that the content of my thoughts is almost always some form of blame. Either, you know, external blame or self-blame, right?
Yes. And, you know, once again, what there is a part of me that loves the idea because I love when things are simple. You know, it doesn't say why you're going to give them up or anything else. It's just give them up. Just give them up. Release these,
right.
Give up these thoughts. And, you know, the thought occurred to me recently. One of my sisters decided that she is never going to eat French fries again. Because she said, you know, there's
never,
just nothing.
Never a good idea to say never.
Well, I know. And I mean, I was kind of shocked. And she said, no, I've just made a decision that I don't eat French fries, which, you know, I guess isn't too much different than, you know, for 19 years, I was a vegetarian. And there was no ifs, ands, and buts. I don't eat meat, period. That's just it. So anyway, she decided that French fries don't add to her life. And she doesn't want to have to debate every time, you know, she's in a restaurant or, you know, gets offered. It's like, no, I don't eat French fries. You know, it's as simple as that. And even though, I mean, you know, on a human level, I don't agree with that. Because, I mean, every once in a while we're together and I go, oh, my God, you've got to taste this one. There's, you know, and it's like, oh, wait, sorry. But what I like is in applying it to this is, you know, if you just say to yourself, you know what, I'm giving up attack thoughts. I don't have to any longer debate about whether somebody was right or wrong or whether I agree with them or I don't agree with them. I give up attack thoughts because they're not helpful. They don't get me where I'm going. And as we also know from A Course in Miracles, we're not good at judging in the first place. We're pretty lousy at it. And according to lesson number 5, we never know what we're really upset about.
Right.
And so, you know, let's just give them up. Let's, you know, because I want to still struggle with, well, but in this case, this person, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, it doesn't matter. You know, it goes back to the forgiveness. We don't forgive somebody because they deserve it. We forgive somebody because we deserve it, because it doesn't, you know, it doesn't
right.
work to keep holding the grudges. So, you know, let's just make that decision. And of course, I think we have to make that choice daily, maybe hourly, but let's just give up attack thoughts. They're
well,
not, team.
Right. I mean, I think that's true, except again, it's not me giving them up because, I mean, the only distinction I would make is that we're probably still, as long as we have an ego.
Yeah.
And we're going to have an ego until the very end of the journey, the very top of the ladder, you know, uh-huh. I mean, until all the guilt is undone for us through this process of practicing and being present to our feelings and then questioning the cause, you know, practicing forgiveness, we're probably always going to have attack thoughts of some kind because, you know, while we become more and more tolerant, you know, we still have an ego and it,
right.
And so there will be things that trigger us. And I think it's unrealistic and maybe setting yourself up to say, I'm just going to, you know, I'm swearing like it's a 12-step thing, like I'm giving up attack thoughts. So we'll probably still have attack thoughts. So I think but what we can do is say, you know, I'm going to try to catch my attack thoughts. And practice this every time they come up and turn to my inner teacher for help with them.
Right.
And
we can
do
catch and release.
Right. I mean, we're going to have them. And so it's really a matter of forgiving ourselves for having them because we can get stuck, you know, we can be setting ourselves up for really harsh self-judgment when we say, I'm going to give them up and then we have them. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so the point is not to not have them. We want them to, in a sense, come up because the ego survives in concealment. And so you want whatever is buried there, you know, whatever that we're repressing, it's to allow it to come up as it will. And that's then we know it's there. And then we can actually, use it as our curriculum and use it as a way to heal our mind and say, you know, I don't want this anymore.
Right.
And,
well,
and
yeah,
it's hurting me as you're saying. And, you know, and just practicing these three steps again. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, that will allow those attack thoughts eventually to not, you know, eventually they come up and they come up in different areas and in our special relationships and eventually they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Through this process, you know, that's what the Course's promises is because once the guilt, that reservoir of guilt that, is, you know, goes so much deeper and is caused by something so much more horrifying than we're willing to ever look at. We don't have to look at directly. We can just look at as it comes up in these little forms and very presently allow Jesus to, you know, allow him to take that third step and let them go.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, they're, you know, we don't have that reactivity in that, to that same issue anymore.
Right. Well, and that's a really good distinction. I'm glad you brought that up. In terms of, it doesn't mean we don't have the attack thoughts. We just really shorten the amount of time that we're willing to entertain them.
Right. Right.
You know, like, in fact, one of my favorite analogies that I tell people is, you know, stuff does happen. And to me, it's like a train coming into the station, but you don't have to get on the train.
Right.
You know, once you recognize that the destination of that train is not where you're going, you don't have to get on. There's nothing that compels you to get on. So you go, okay, thank you, bye. You know,
right.
And so, I mean, and that's what I find myself doing. And I know a lot of people do is, you know, I have the attack thought and then I spend 15 or 20 minutes processing it and figuring out how I'm going to get back at the person or how I'm going to deal with this or why they, I mean, I'm analyzing it, why they were wrong, why they did this and why I'm right. And it's like, I get all stirred up and all, you know, and then I go, what? You know, what am I doing? So that's it. It's just choosing how long am I really going to, you know, to
right.
sit with this attack thought, that I know where the destination is. I know it's going to take me a place I don't want to go.
Well, and even if we get on the train, we can always get off.
Get off. That's right.
So that's
pull
what
that
I mean.
Card.
This
next
is
stop.
Jesus is very, very, you know, again, we all make it home. We all make it, you know, there's no, we really can't, again, the ego doesn't have the power that we think it has. So we're gonna fall, we're gonna stumble, we have conscious resistance to this because, you know, we still have a lot more faith in our personal self and that we believe that that's our salvation than we have in this abstract union that we think, you know, we still think is sort of an enemy because it must be angry with us for what we did. And so we have to build that trust, and the way we build it is through experience, you know, is through a growing relationship that we're establishing with our teacher by our willingness to practice this to the best of our ability and to use the way he treats us, you know, in the course with this completely loving, not judgmental, patient gentleness. To try to, when we find ourselves being harsh with ourselves for getting on that train, to just say, you know what, I made a mistake again. This just shows me that there's an unconscious, that Jesus is right, that there's an unconscious part of me that really doesn't want to do this and is afraid of it. And, you know, I can have compassion for that part of myself. And the more I have compassion for that part of myself, and share Jesus's compassion for me, the more that translates to me having compassion to everybody, because we're all fighting that same hard battle. Everybody jumps on the train.
Right.
Everybody's just as fearful as we are. And that's why, you know, there's so much conflict and craziness in the world. But I can, you know, at any given moment, I can step back from the craziness and see it with through the eyes of compassion for myself and others. And, you know, all minds are given the choice that is inherent in all minds to do the same thing is strengthened every time we make that choice. That's what the Course says.
Yes. Well, and I had told you before that I was intrigued. Well, you know, the lessons, they all, you know, hook together, so to speak. But mm-hmm. when I was reading lesson 23, of course, my eye caught lesson 24 that says, I do not perceive my own best interests.
Right.
So once again, it's just like going to the heart of the matter. And in that lesson, it says, in no situation that arises do you realize the outcome that would make you happy. And when you think about it, that's a pretty powerful statement.
And very threatening to the ego. What do you mean I don't understand what I need? And we get really upset with Jesus because it's like, this is what I need you to do for me, right?
Right.
This is what I need you to solve. I want to drag you down here to solve this particular problem. Or this is an exception to what you're saying. You know, this is too big for the Course. So, you know, I need help here.
Yeah. Yes. And so I thought, you know, as people are going through the lessons, and I know a lot of the people that listen, you know, they do go through the lessons either one a day or, you know, maybe one a week or whatever. But, you know, as you go to that next lesson, I mean, it is pretty incredible. And, you know, it says if you realize that you do not perceive your own best interest, yeah. then you could actually be taught what they are.
Right.
And, you know, once again, these are the kinds of statements in a course that just, they make me laugh, they make me smile, because it's that, oh my God, it's so true. You know, I don't have the faintest idea what's really going to make me happy.
And Jesus knows his students so well, doesn't he? I mean, he totally knows that we think we know, and he's constantly telling us that we don't. And, you know, so I think when Ken used to say, approach this like you would a great work of art, another thing he used to say that's analogous is to approach it with humility. And we can be taught when we recognize that our way isn't working.
Right.
But that's required. That's a prerequisite because until we're ready to acknowledge that, we can't be taught. We're going to try to teach Jesus, and it's not going to go that well.
No.
Because he's not going to agree with us, you know. And so, I mean, and again, he's not going to judge us or condemn us. He just smiles. He's going to mm-hmm. wait till we wear ourselves out, and we will. We will wear ourselves out because we're not going to get anywhere. But, you know, once we come to that, I mean, that's the idea in the course of being happily wrong. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to being a happy learner. It means that I'm happily wrong about what I thought I was. I mean, I'm happily wrong about everything. The workbook in the introduction talks about how, you know, we're going to find these ideas quite startling and we're not going to believe them. But that does not, you know, but don't worry about that. Just do them. We have to suspend our disbelief and just say, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong is enough.
Mm-hmm.
you know.
Yep. One of the hardest lines there is, though. Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe I'm wrong. Right.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm convinced. I know that, I mean, as an astrologer, I certainly know some signs, I would put it that way, have an easier time with that concept. But, you know, I think it's human nature that we want to be right. I mean, in fact, if you think about it biologically, it, you know, our survival is dependent on our being right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, eating the right things, being in the right place, making the right choices. Our survival as a species has been dependent upon our believing that we're making the right choices. And so I think it's so hardwired into our consciousness that it's so difficult to go, maybe I'm wrong.
Right.
You know, what a startling concept.
Right. It becomes less so as we practice. Because we have experiences that, you know, we have experiences that, you know, the Course has that line, would you rather be happy or right?
Right.
You know, or right than happy. And we, you know, we want to be right, but it doesn't bring us happiness, and it doesn't necessarily bring us what we want at all. And that's what we're learning. And, you know, it brings us a lot of conflict wanting to be right and insisting that we're right. And very often we're deceiving ourselves anyway that we're right. You know, that's part of the self-deception that's necessary to dissociate, you know, to believe that this world is capable of changing, to believe that this world is, you know, that my life is going, quote unquote, somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it means something. These early workbook lessons question all of that. The only meaning that our life can truly have as bodies that are unreal, as dream figures, is to change the purpose of the dream, of the body, you know, to a classroom of forgiveness. That has mm-hmm. real meaning. That will bring us real happiness. You know?
Yes.
Because it's not about anything that happens in the world. Nothing, I mean, that's what we do not perceive our own best interests. We don't even know the outcome, this lesson says, that would make us happy, because what is happiness? You know, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not here.
Right. Well, and I was just thinking too, something happened recently. A good friend is trying to make a major life choice and is testing out and trying out some things. And one particular avenue after testing it out, he said, nope, that's not it. And then he mentioned to me that somebody had asked him, well, are you embarrassed now that you tried that? And I was like, why would you be embarrassed?
Right.
You know, you tried it and you made a really logical choice that said, nope, that's not it. But I was just surprised that somebody else's perception was, oh, well, he should be embarrassed because he tried it and it didn't, and now he's decided he doesn't want it. I mean, I think that's a wonderful thing about, you know, that's maybe I was wrong, but it's not even in that case, it's not even about being wrong. It's just going, yeah, I walked down this path and that's not the one I want. I'm choosing again. And that's what the Course is about. Always, I'm choosing again. Make another choice.
Mm-hmm.
Make another choice.
Right. Again, how's it working out for me? And you know, this isn't, I mean, I think from the Course's perspective, this path is not for everybody by any means, you know, the Course's
yeah.
path. And it's probably for people, who have exhausted their a lot of possibilities in the world, who are somewhat disillusioned with the world, you know,
yes.
with the potential of the world to make them happy.
Right.
And I know in my own case, I've said many times and was very aware that what brought me to the Course after a lot of spiritual seeking and, you know, which was all helpful, all of it, but not ultimately, you know, it was more a process of not this, not this, not this. But what resonated with me for the Course and what drew me was this inner sense of feeling very, you know, sort of unloved and unloving. Like there was something terribly wrong about the way I felt I was relating to people. And that was very inward. It wasn't something, I don't think you would know, you know, that people around me would have known that I felt that way. But it was a sense that I had of that was very felt very alone and sort of hypocritical in the way I was dealing with people. And so the course was very, very appealing to me because it really did uncover the sort of unloving, why I felt that way. And, mm-hmm. and it does really bring us to, you know, that there has to be, it's very similar to what, Bill said to Helen, and what brought the scribing in was, you know, again, that there has to be another way, a better way of relating to each other here. That's, you know, genuine and really loving, because the way that we're relating isn't genuine and it's not really loving.
Right. Well, and, you know, just going back to a couple of things that you said, I mean, when I think about my experience with the course, you know, I may not have said it openly to somebody, but it was obvious to me that everything I had tried had not worked.
Right.
You know, that's it. You know, it wasn't working for me. How's it working for you? It's not working for me.
Right.
And all of a sudden, the course not only showed me maybe why a little bit, but it did kind of say there is another way.
You know, there is another way.
Yeah, you don't have to despair that there isn't a way, because there is a way. And that maybe is, I had kind of lost, hope on that level.
Yes, yeah, I felt like I had lost hope too, right. And this is very hopeful, but as we both know, even once you come to the course, you know, then the real work begins. because I mean, it is very hopeful, but you have to be willing to practice it. You have to be willing to do what Jesus is asking us to do, and to try to really, you know, change the purpose of your life to this classroom, and be willing to be wrong again and again and again and again, and to open to what the course is saying. And, you know, but we don't take the journey alone. I mean, the beautiful thing too about the course and what has changed my life greatly is I have a constant companion. You know, Jesus tells us he's right there with us all the time. We can't get rid of him. I mean, sometimes it's annoying, right?
Right.
You know, he never goes away. but it's like we can't, you know, that awareness that we're not alone, and that we have he's the symbol of that other choice that's available to us all the time, that loving presence. You know, that awareness never goes away anymore. We know we have that choice. And so nothing can be taken quite as seriously as it was before. It can still,
right.
we can delay, we can, and we've, and the contrast, you know, can be excruciating, because now we really know this was a choice. And when we're feeling the pain of separation and, you know, the holding on to our wanting to be right and our judgments and our attack thoughts, it's very, very painful now, because we own it. You know, we really are aware that it's not because of something out there. We have had experiences in which we shift to Jesus's awareness and perspective, and we know that that's everything we want. And so
yes.
When we're resistant, it can seem very hard, like it's gone, you know, but it's never gone.
Yes. Okay. And Susan, we're at the end of our time. And so I just want to ask you, do you have any quick announcements before we close the show today?
You know, I don't think so. I always like to, you know, again, emphasize the Foundation for A Course in Miracles has wonderful online, learning aids and all kinds of things available. Their bookstore is wonderful. There's a new CD set I just noticed that was just released of Penn's work or a workshop. And so that would be worth checking out. And then they're taking a break in July, but in August, the streamed classes will resume at the Foundation. So if you go to the Temecula schedule on their website, you will be able to sign up for future classes.
Okay. And I just posted that in the chat room. So anybody who's listening, and maybe even if you're listening to this later as an encore, if you go back to the live feed for this particular show in Facebook, you'll see that. But it is FACIM. So it's basically you put an F in front of ACIM, which is acourseinmiracles.org. That's right. Where you can find all of that. And you can also find Susan at www.4asinforgiveness.com. And I'm putting that in the chat room too.
One quick announcement is just that on my website, 4asinforgiveness.com, there are two new interviews with, one with Jeffrey Siebert from a teacher at the Foundation for A Course in Miracles, and one with Rosemary Lasso. And they're both wonderful teachers. They're really in-depth interviews with them about all kinds of what it is like to practice this course in the classroom of our lives. So I would highly recommend those to course students that are interested in going deeper with the practice.
Okay, and thank you so much for that, Susan, and thanks for joining me on the show today.
Oh, thank you. I always love talking with you.
Yeah, me too. I mean, and it just always keeps me on track because, like I said, as you make suggestions, then I go, oh, yeah, let me go over there and see what's going on with that. So thank you so much.
Great.
And Ade, thank you very much for being our producer today. And thanks to everybody who did come over into the chat room, and to Greg and to Renee and Laura and everybody. Thank you so much for coming over today. And thanks to all the listeners. And I hope that you're going to stick around because, you know, there's a lot of live programming here on 1-2 Radio. Kathleen Peterson and Tamara Childs have their show, Elements of Wisdom, I know, later today. And we've got a number of other live shows as well. So I hope you'll stick around. And until next week, relax and wear loose clothes. You have been listening to the Friday Morning Show with C.A. Brooks with my guest, Susan Dugan, on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way you think about attack thoughts.
Jim Komar from 1-2 Radio. You are listening to some great stuff. Let your light shine. 1-2 Radio, changing the way you see the world.
I can't wait to meet you on Fridays at 10 a.m. Pacific for
Elements of Wisdom. I really do like the name because we do have all the elements and life. Certainly, some of us can speak extensively on life experiences.
It's such a great time to bring all of the wisdom that we have together and really join in community and empower each other.
I agree. I'm really looking forward to this because I think that it's important to share this with others. That's what we can do on this show. Share with others what we have learned through experience and also what we've learned spiritually.
Yeah, I remember you saying, as above, so below. You know, we're often reaching upward for inspiration, but at the same time, we've got what's right in front of us that we're dealing with. I feel like there's a level of inspiration we can bring into our daily existence.
I agree, and I think the two of us together can add a lot.
I'm excited, and so I want to welcome all the listeners to Elements of Wisdom with Kathleen and Tamara. On Fridays.
Yay! It's gonna be interesting. It's gonna be fun. And I think it's gonna help all of us evolve a little bit. And certainly be open to all kinds of aspects of philosophy and spirituality. And certainly I'm gonna learn something.